Transmitting sound. Download complete. Now launching audio stream. It's the Kelly Alexander Show.
Joining us on the show this week is our music editor, Sharon Hyland, discussing music award season ramping up. We delve into some artists who have had a great year and if their success will translate into bringing home some awards. And if a breakout performance at an award show can bring an artist's career to new heights. Next up is physiotherapist Andrew Roberts. He talks about the all-too-familiar neck and back injuries that can crop up from work and how best to treat them using physiotherapy. We round out the show with the remix from Rihanna, Diamonds.
Capture your need for sound.
Joining us on the show this week is our one and only music director, Sharon Hyland. Sharon, welcome back to the show.
Thank you very much. Happy to be here.
So the first topic I want to bring up with you is the fact that we are in the fall and we're starting towards, I think, music award season. And to me, that means the American Music Awards.
It also means I've put my summer clothes away. We can now start with the award show wardrobe.
Yes, exactly. Flannel. It's good.
Yeah.
Now, I know that we actually had an award show a couple months ago, the MTV Video Music Awards. That kind of happens right at the beginning of September. But I don't know if it's because it's a video music award that it doesn't really resonate as a music award show for me. So that's why I always think of the American Music Awards as the first one.
It's also like a treat for the younger demographic. They're back to school. They've got homework. Hey, the MTV Awards are on. And everybody shows up at the MTV Awards, so it's a good watch.
Yes, exactly. And so this one now is the American Music Awards. This year it's actually celebrating its 40th awards season for the American Music Awards. And you and I were talking before, and we mentioned that this show used to be in January.
Yeah.
Do you remember that?
Totally.
I think it's already been I think they've changed it now. I think it was 2002 they changed it back to November.
So they didn't just change it
No.
I thought.
It's been a few years, maybe.
Maybe 10-ish.
But I think they changed it because, from what I remember, it was the Grammys were going to be in the way. And they didn't want to be too close to the Grammys because the Grammys were, I think, did the Grammys used to be in March? And then they moved back into the end of February?
Yep. And then there's that you can't perform on the Grammys if you've performed on the American Music Awards. I'm not sure if that rule's still in place, but I know that it was.
Really? I didn't know that.
That's why some people wouldn't show up to the American Music Awards.
Right. Do you ever and that was just
and
the way
it was said.
Do you think, though, that the American Music Awards are sort of like the dirty little sister of the Grammys?
The dirty little sister.
The dirty little sister.
Dirty and like she's played in the mud or
a little like she's played in the
all
mud.
The boys. Okay. Yeah, kind of. You know what? Because American Music Awards is sales-based.
Right.
Whereas the Grammys are more...
establishment,
more establishment.
Will.
I think they have more of an art feel to them.
Right.
Where you're the album of the year, the record of the year, the song of the year aren't always going to be from the same artist and often won't be from the artist that you're expecting them to be from.
Right.
Which is kind of cool.
And do you ever view the Grammys as sort of like the counterpart to the Oscars? Because I almost feel like the Oscars are, you know, supposed to be the be all and end all of, you know, television or film awards. And then the Grammys are, you know, the highest of the high for the music awards.
For sure.
And it's weird, though, because I don't know how you feel, and I'll tell you how I feel right now. I am a huge American Music Awards fan. I think I enjoy the American Music Awards better than the Grammys.
I find, I just like to argue with you.
We know this.
No. I like the Grammys better because I think there's no clean sweep.
Okay.
All the time. There are certainly years where, oh my gosh, you won five. Like Bonnie Raitt that year killed it. Santana back in 99 killed it for Supernatural.
Lauryn Hill, all those.
Yeah, exactly. So you're like, oh, okay, great. Mm-hmm. It doesn't mean that they're totally mainstream, but I like that it's not a sweep every year, that you get a bit of everything and you might be surprised. There was that year that Steely Dan won for Album of the Year and people were like, well, you know, and no offense to Steely Dan, but I mean, I don't remember the category, who was in the category with them, but it was a shocker because it was somebody of pop nature. So you're going to get all your pop fix from the American Music Awards, whereas I think you're going to get a little bit more of a, I think it's probably beer versus champagne.
Right. Yeah, you're right. And for example, when you brought up the Steely Dan thing, that brought me back to, I think 2 years ago when it was Best New Artist, they went to Esperanza Spalding. And so many people were like, who is Esperanza Spalding?
You know what? So many people are still asking, who is Esperanza Spalding?
Correct.
But it was considered by their panel of judges who, you know, it wasn't sales-based, it wasn't chart-based, it was art-based.
Yeah. Do you find... With the Grammys, I find the Grammys are better than the Oscars in the fact that even though it is establishment, I find they're more willing to take a chance, like on this Esperanza Spalling, as opposed to, you know, old white men choosing the Oscars. That's what it feels like to me.
Well, and also I think there's a greater chance of something coming out of a category like Best New Artist for an Esperanza Spalling versus Best New Artist on the American Music Awards. Chances, you know, we've heard the hell out of them. Mm-hmm. Anyways, by the time we get to the show, we totally know who they are. We know mm-hmm. their song. It's been beaten to death by the radio stations that do that kind of thing. So I have yet to hear Esperanza Spalding on the radio, maybe yes. on the CBC, which
right.
is something in Canada that's not unlike the BBC.
Exactly.
National radio.
This is true.
NPR style thing.
Very good. Know? Very good. Now, this is with regards to the American Music Awards, I just wanted to bring this up. This is the sixth year that winners are actually going to be determined by online voting.
Hmm. Which, lazy.
Lazy. And I think they actually do one that gets voted on during the show. I know they do that with the MTV Video Music Awards.
That keeps it, I guess it keeps it
super fresh.
It keeps it current. Yeah. You know, that it's happening. It's not dated. It's not a package show.
Yeah.
People probably like that.
And I wanted to, I guess, go over just a few of the categories. Now, like Sharon mentioned sort of earlier, you are bound to find several artists that make it into several categories on this one. So I think the one that we're going to hear a lot of this year is the Biebster, Justin Bieber. But he had a really great album, and I think that surprised a lot of people in the fact that he transitioned well from teeny bop to young adult. Do you find?
I didn't know that there was such a great distinction between teeny bop and young adult, but I think it's probably because of him that there is kind of a, because then he'll grow up a little bit older and then he'll be an adult and he'll be a man and he might not have, oh no, he'll always have screaming girls.
He will always have screaming girls.
But I think
girls.
If we're comparing American Music Awards and Grammys, he'll likely not ever win a Grammy.
Yeah.
This is the boy,
yeah.
young man, whatever, who says, yeah, everybody's using auto-tune. It's the way they do it now.
Right.
No. It's not the way they do it now.
Exactly.
It's the way you're doing it now. And certainly a bunch of other artists are mm-hmm. using that. But I think we can all
Do you think he'll ever win a Grammy?
No, I don't.
Really?
Well, you know what? Not anytime soon.
Right.
10 years down the road, if he's still doing it,
mm-hmm.
who knows?
Because he was nominated for one last year, wasn't he, I think? And he was shocked that he didn't win, I think.
That's the problem.
The Best New Artist,
You can't be shocked when you don't win something. It's bad form.
Oh, well, exactly. And especially, you know, I know he's been around for a bit, but like when you look at a Bonnie Raitt or whatever, like these ones have been around for years.
They've lived.
Yes.
They have the experience that he's singing to his girl, you know?
Yeah.
They have some life experience. And not that he doesn't have life experience. I mean, he's singing to thousands and thousands of girls at a time
mm-hmm.
who are in love with him.
Right.
But it doesn't mean that that's life experience. I think you have to sort of go through it. You have to have your ups and you have to have your downs. And I don't think that he's had his downs as an artist.
No, not at all.
So,
especially because he transitioned well from teeny bop to this young adult, because there was, I mean, I give credit to him. I give credit to his management, because this could have been a really bad fall for him
mm-hmm.
because it is hard to transition. It's like child actors. They don't always transition well. And he is only still 18, you know, on the verge of hitting 19 in a couple months. But this could have gone badly, especially because he was so teeny bop before that if he didn't pull off a bit of a more mature sound, it would have just been, okay, we know what he's doing. He can't pull off a sound.
But it's a map at the same time, too. So a real confident artist isn't compelled, oh, I gotta put another album out. Oh, I gotta do it now. Oh my God.
Yeah.
A true confident artist will say, yeah, I'm ready. Okay, we'll do that now.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah. Like Peter Gabriel, he's my go-to because he can go years without doing anything and then do something and his fans will buy it because they know it's going to be good mm-hmm. because they trust what they love about him, however eclectic, to be solid and something that they're worth, you know, that is worth their time to invest and find out. Whereas like a Celine Dion a few years ago, many years ago now, she announced she was retiring from the music business. And then she came back a couple of years later with her, like it had to be a return album.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see that that's necessary.
Right.
Like it's a sales tactic. It's a package tactic. It's something that, like Justin Bieber, if he's that damn good, settle down, do your thing, do an album, tour to support it, whatever. Is it striking while the iron's hot, or is it panic that this might only last another minute or two?
What do you feel then about Rihanna? Because this is my go-to girl where I say to you, it's unbelievable how she's put out an album almost every year. And just in the last year, if you look at it, she released Talk That Talk basically a year ago now. She released it in November. She's releasing her new album now in November. It's insane to think that she's already been, you know, and was touring in amongst this. So she obviously either recorded this album, you know, while she was on tour, partially on tour, and then was, you know, doing all the marketing and ready to get this thing going. Plus, she also put out, I believe, off of Talk That Talk, there was the deluxe edition with this, that, and whatever else was going on.
The deluxe edition.
So it's almost like she has taken the mindset of, I can't go away because people will forget me.
Well, interesting. Then she becomes less of an album-oriented artist. Mm-hmm. I couldn't say where one ended and one began. It's just been a steady stream of Rihanna.
Yes.
So are people just downloading the singles?
Right.
Are they buying the album?
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if that's probably an equation that her people are on top of. But I don't know. I guess she'd be another one. She just keeps going. I don't know.
It's weird. And then, but if we look at Lady Gaga, she had to go away for a bit, even though it wasn't gone long. She had to go away between Fame and then Born This Way because it was too much. It was too much of Lady Gaga.
Well, and she knew it and she felt it. It's demanding.
Mm-hmm.
And you end up making bad choices at some point. Rihanna, Chris Brown. You know what? And it's, if you can be smart enough and confident enough in yourself to say, I'm going to step back, mm-hmm. take a breath. And figure this out.
Mm-hmm.
And an artist like Lady Gaga, who is pure in her art, needs to do that.
Yeah.
She knows that. So good for her for taking care of herself.
Very good. Very good. Now, speaking of the categories with the American Music Awards, there's a few I wanted to touch on. And I want to speak on this one. We'll start with New Artist of the Year. So up for grabs, J. Cole, Fun, Gautier, Carly Rae Jepsen, One Direction. I think One Direction is going to walk away with this just because of the fact that it's fan-based.
The kids are going crazy, crazy, crazy.
Yes.
It happens in my house.
Yes, there you go.
I'm going to pick Fun on that
one. Are you?
Actually, I'll be happy for whoever because it's nice to see them happy young people.
Yeah. it is an eclectic group for this mm-hmm. Best New Artist, which they've managed to pull out because J. Cole is completely in one direction and One Direction is completely in another.
Yeah.
And then you've got Gautier, which he's in his own vibe going on. And then Carly Rae Jepsen, a Canadian, getting in there. So, yeah, I think it's going to be interesting. And if it is, you know, based off, as they say, with the online voting, probably One Direction will walk away with that.
Yeah, you're probably right.
And if we look at favorite male artist, pop rock, I actually wanted to talk to you about the pop rock category, especially when it comes down to American Music Awards. Does that bother you that they have this pop rock thing going on, or do you just assume that it's middle of the road?
I think that it would be okay if they just call it pop.
Right.
Because it's less rock than it is pop.
Yeah, because I don't even see like anyone that would even really stick out in a pop rock. Although if you go to the group of the pop rock, I mean, Maroon 5 could be in there, but they're pop
mm-hmm.
more than rock.
Yep.
So it's like a strange category.
You're not gonna hear Maroon 5 necessarily on a rock radio station, I don't think.
Yeah, and it's almost like a weird, it's almost like an outdated category, almost like they need to rename it or just drop the rock part.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so if we take Artist of the Year, that is obviously going to be the big category for the American Music Awards. Justin Bieber, Drake, Maroon 5, Katy Perry, Rihanna. It's a tough category. I'm saying Justin Bieber.
I think you're probably right on that, but I don't want it to happen because he'll say something dumb that'll make me want to throw up. There is the difference in my age and his age.
There we are. This is true.
I like Maroon 5, though. I think they've been kicked.
They've been solid
for years and years. And they're, yeah. It's funny that they're sort of the wiser characters in that group.
Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of surprised. Not really, but I guess in a way, Katy Perry, to me, shouldn't be in there because last year was her year, I think.
Yeah.
And this year, this is, you know, must be just pulling off the end of the album, the one or two singles that mm-hmm. maybe made it into the category. Because last year was her year. This is not her year.
And will she show up with a solid, new, fresh color hair? Or will it be fading out? Last time I saw her on TV was sort of post-divorce. And it was like, I'm in between blues. Okay.
Oh, Katy Perry. Oh, I like the blue. The blue's a good look on her.
Blue's good, but it's tough to wash out. So
yes.
Kids, don't dye your hair blue. It's going to take a long time to get it back to normal.
Exactly. Now, I did want to touch on this favorite band, duo, or group, the pop rock category here. Again, interesting in Fun, Maroon 5, One Direction, The Wanted. Now, One Direction, The Wanted, both British acts in this American Music Awards.
I say poor The Wanted because One Direction are killing it.
Yeah, I think it's done.
But I would even bet that Maroon 5 is going to take that. Because
they should.
This is the American Music Awards. Yeah. They don't tend to favor outside of the borders.
This is true. Do you find it interesting that they have been nominated, One Direction and The Wanted, considering they are both complete British bands? Like, they're both, and it's American Music Awards.
Well, it you can't deny the power of One Direction.
Exactly. Oh, Harry Styles.
Never in my life did I think of it. No, but that's that's the power of a pop star.
Right.
Justin Bieber is certainly looking over his shoulder and going, okay, these boys are cuter and younger than me.
Yes, this is actually, pretty much.
But they're not even.
Well, I think that he's right in the middle of them. Yeah. I think he's right in the middle of their
Let's
ages.
Let's put him in the band.
Put him in the band. Well, they're supposed to be doing a song together. Oh, of course they are, to make more money.
The world will be a better place, no doubt.
It will be. Now, I have to touch on a bit of country, even though this is not something I'm a big aficionado on. But I'm going to go favorite male artist country, Jason Aldean, Luke Bryan, Eric Church. I think Aldean is the runaway.
I think Aldean is the runaway. And I like that alphabetically, Aldean, Bryan, and Church is ABC.
Yeah.
I find it interesting, though, that as soon as we get to the country categories, that they drop down from four nominees to three.
And interesting in the fact that, because I don't know what the numbers are now, but I know a few years ago, country outsells everything.
Mm-hmm.
So you'd think they'd have more in that category, if nothing else.
Yep.
Plus, they have their own. They have at least two award shows, don't they? In country, the American Country Music Awards, and then there's another one, the big one, right? There's another one. See, this is us on country. But I think they have at least two.
They have a big weekend sleepover camping at Reba's house.
Yeah.
Pretty sure that happens.
I love Reba. So let's touch on female artist country: Miranda Lambert, Taylor Swift, Carrie Underwood. I don't even think Taylor should be in this category, but I suppose because she has a few banjos.
She's going to win.
She's going to win.
And that's what's interesting, because she'll go up there and be like, oh, I'm so surprised. And that's going to drive me mental.
Yes.
Just say thank you. Don't be
surprised.
Is
she pop or country?
She is pop.
She is pop.
But like you said, you pull out a banjo and it's a different sound. So I guess, you know what, she can write a good song too. We talked about that last time.
Yeah.
But Carrie Underwood, I think she's superior in this category.
Yeah,
Miranda Lambert's good.
Yeah.
Is she great? Does she have to be great? I don't even know.
Yeah.
But Carrie Underwood is great. Taylor Swift will likely win because that's the thing. If this category were at the Grammys, Carrie Underwood would win.
Right.
Because of the American Music Awards, I think Taylor Swift's going to win.
You're right. Yeah. That's a good juxtaposition of that. So favorite artist, rap, hip hop, Drake, Nicki Minaj, Tigga. I say Nicki Minaj.
I'm going to say that, too, mostly because of my ignorance on Tigga. Is it Tigga or Tyga? I don't even know.
I think it's Tigga. Watch, I'm screwing this all up, and my apologies if I am. I thought it was Tigga.
And, you know, my apologies, too. It's just complete ignorance, I think, on my part.
Because it is on mine as well. I've heard of the man before, and I do know it's a man.
It comes up on Song Pop.
Yeah. Oh, there you go. So you're all down with the crew, Sharon Hyland.
Work.
I want to touch on this is a category that is close to my heart, so I will, you know, have to touch on this. Soul, R&B. Mm-hmm. Favorite male artist, Chris Brown, Trey Songz, Usher. I guess I gave away my one that I don't want to win. I actually think out of all of these, the one that is actually true soul R&B is Trey Songz.
Huh.
Because Usher, I love him to pieces. Very talented. He's not just R&B anymore. He's like pop R&B, I guess, if you want to call it, or dance. Like, his sound is not traditional R&B anymore.
But there are those gray areas, too, where those kind of artists that just have experience in the category will sneak out a little bit and get a little bit experimental.
Yeah.
But will also be considered for that category because of their experience there.
Right. Yeah, and like, if we go back 10 years, you know, he was R&B, like that when that 90s sound R&B, you know, he was it. So
Chris Brown isn't going to win and he's going to be mad.
Yes. And he might throw a chair out of a window.
He might.
I can't stand Chris Brown. Anyways, favorite female artist, soul R&B, Beyonce, Mary J. Blige, Rihanna. I find this interesting in the fact that I don't even think any of them are super current right now with a lot of, you know, albums. Like, their albums were all last year.
That's true.
You know, so, and again, if you're looking at straight up R&B, that would have to be MJB.
Yeah.
So we'll see. And because Beyonce, it's been a year since hers has been out. So again, sometimes I find that they're pulling off of years past. That's the one thing I will say about the American Music Awards. I sometimes think they're a little Johnny come lately.
Well, it's also depending on when the album was released and their parameter window of, or their eligibility window.
That's true. Yeah, that's right. And now this is a category that I've always found intriguing because it's almost like just screaming out to the older set, adult contemporary.
That acknowledges an hour and a half into the show that parents are watching. Also.
Exactly. So we've got Adele, Kelly Clarkson, and Train. I'm a little shocked, I guess, to see Kelly Clarkson in this category, but I guess because she rides that line, mm-hmm. you know, I love her to pieces. And Adele, if she wins, that's pulling again off of last year.
Yep.
So I don't know. I would say Kelly Clarkson, but it could go to Adele too.
But what about Train?
I know they're great.
Ways to Say Goodbye.
Yeah.
That song just
they're
keeps
current.
On getting better.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. So are you going with Train?
Is my life depending on it?
Yes.
Yes, I will.
Okay, very nice. We have to touch on this as well because they actually have their own award show now, where it's been a couple of years, that's for sure. Favorite artist Latin. They have the Latin Grammy Awards. Latin. Uh-huh. Don Omar, Pitbull, and Shakira. I don't even know this category enough to say, so I would say, based on popularity's sake, we'll go with Pitbull.
I'm going to pick Pitbull also, because like every other artist that releases an album, he shows up on it.
Right.
So in this category, he's showing up on it. Oh, and he's going to tell us he's Mr. 305, and he's going to, there's always laughter. Why? What's so funny? Pitbull, stop laughing in the songs. Really?
It's what he does.
You're bugging me.
You're bugging Sharon Hyland. Stop it. Stop it, Pitbull. So then this is a new category for the American Music Awards. And I do want to say that even though we said before that they need to probably update the pop rock category and change the name of it, they do try to stay up to date, I think, with certain advancements in musical genres, if you will. And so they have added this year the EDM category, which is electronic dance music. So up there is David Guetta, Calvin Harris, and Skrillex. Skrillex, I think, is too much for this award show. I don't think it's going to be him, so I would go with Guetta.
I'm going to pick Guetta, and I think that Skrillex is a bit too much. He was an option. This is like I play games. He was an option on Draw Something.
Was he?
If you knew how to draw Skrillex. If they had put David Guetta, I wouldn't have known how to draw that either.
Wow. Yeah, Skrillex has an interesting hairstyle.
Yeah.
That's how I know him with the glasses. That's mm-hmm. And then bangarang. That's the one word I know. But I think he's too much. I think he's too much for American Music Awards. And interesting to note, and I don't think I passed over anything, but I don't really notice a lot of, I think they took out, I don't really see any rock. Like, remember they used to have like a few categories for
alternative rock.
Oh, there we go. So there is one.
So Black Keys, Gautier, and Linkin Park.
Gautier, yeah. Wow. Who would you go with? I think Linkin Park. Black Keys?
Yeah.
Okay. So there we go. But remember when it used to be very rock oriented?
Mm-hmm.
And actually, I wanted to bring up a moment. Award shows in general, you know, wild things can happen. And one of the wild things that happened, I think it was the American Music Awards of 1990, was when Slash and Duff McKagan got up there in a rant-filled, curse-induced thank you speech.
That was awesome.
Yeah. And I think if I remember correctly, Dick Clark didn't speak to them for a long time, right? Or something about it?
You know what? He might not have, but I don't think they traveled in the same circle. So I'm not even sure if Guns N' Roses knew or felt the effect of Dick Clark
not talking
to them.
Because if you don't know, Dick Clark was the one that created American Music Awards.
Yes.
Yeah. So that, and obviously he had a solid reputation. So for them to get up there in a curse-filled thank you, it was comical. I remember watching it.
Oh,
and I think
yeah.
they were actually...
They brought their drinks up too, didn't they? So you knew that they had been... There was evident. That
yeah, there was evident. Everybody they could barely climb the four steps on stage. And then I think actually I read, because I read Slash's biography, and I'm pretty sure he said it was either him or Duff McKagan in his biography said that thanks to that performance that they put with their thank yous, that was the inception of the 7-second delay on award shows because they cursed quite a bit.
Yeah,
it was funny. It was.
Well, it's funny. It's one of those things that these words exist. Everybody knows they exist. Just because we're watching TV where people are using the words doesn't mean that, you know, our kid is going to say, I love Guns N' Roses, so F you, you know, F you, mummy, you know, but they have, it's ABC, it's Dick Clark, it's Squeaky Clean.
Yeah.
You know,
were you watching that? Because I was watching it live when they did it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember, too, how, you know how when either people are going too long with their thank you speech and then the band kicks in?
Yep.
And then that happened there where it was like, da-na-na-na, like off to, the band kicked in trying to, and then it was off to commercial.
Yep.
That's when Dick Clark had his first heart attack.
That's when you're sitting, at that time, you're sitting watching TV and your parents are probably there and you're like, you turn away. You look at them and you're like, yeah, it's sort of funny.
Very funny. And when it comes to performances at award shows, I wanted to ask you this. Have you noticed, whether it's American Music Awards, Grammys, MTV Video Music Awards, have you noticed where a performance has made an artist super big or really broken them? And my example of that would be Ricky Martin's performance at the Grammys in 99, I believe it was, he was already on the rise. Like, he was already almost there, if you want to call it that. And he was obviously the tingly type artist to have on that show that night. But when he did that performance in that gray ensemble he was wearing and shaking his bonbon, he was then the talk of the town for the next 12 months.
And wasn't that the one where Madonna was sitting front row and she was sort of literally on the edge of her seat looking like, oh my God, who is this guy?
Yes, that was the one. And that performance sticks out for me as something where he was bubbling, or an artist was bubbling, and then that performance went boom, right to the top.
Totally.
Do you have one in your head that you could speak to?
I don't know that they were game changers necessarily. Lady Gaga's head. You get to that point where there's an expectation. What are they going to do? What are they going to do? Oh, there was fire.
Yeah.
You know, that kind of thing. But there's been a couple of performances with Lady Gaga and other artists within the past few years. She did that one with, actually, it's not Lady Gaga with, it's Jennifer Nettles. That's the common denominator here. Oh. Jennifer Nettles of Sugarland.
Okay.
She sang You and I with Lady Gaga.
Okay.
And it was amazing. Remember, they do that. They bring somebody else out that's singing another artist's song.
Right.
And then the original artist comes out and sings with.
Yes, cool.
So Jennifer Nettles did that with Lady Gaga, which was amazing because you could see the way both of them were performing, and they're both great singers.
Yeah.
Lady Gaga sort of had to command the whole performance and sort of watch what Jennifer Nettles was doing just to keep on track of things and incorporate her into the song. She changed a couple of lyrics to include Jennifer Nettles, which was just really cool. It just proves that Gaga knows what she's doing. And it was the year before, or 2 years before that, where Jennifer Nettles had come out and started singing Irreplaceable.
Oh, wow.
And then Beyonce, the curtains opened or whatever, and Beyonce came out, and they kept it a country song.
Wow. Oh,
and
yeah, I do remember
so
that.
Cool.
I do remember that. That
and
is that, interesting.
And that's where, you know, like, yeah, okay, I'm going to keep watching because I don't know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
is good. And they need to do that. They need to keep it fresh by doing things like that.
One that stuck out for me as well, which was not even really a performance. It was back in 92, I think it was, when Boyz II Men and Color Me Bad were at the Grammys and they were presenting an award, but each were at a different podium and they each got to do a little a cappella business. Do you remember that?
Vaguely.
And it was interesting because, again, it wasn't a performance. They weren't standing on stage. They were just, you know, on stage at the podium, and they both did a little a cappella. So you could actually tell that, yes, both of these two groups are talented. They can actually pull off a little a cappella moment. And I think Michael Bivins was there as well on the Boyz II Men side. Yeah. And then he did a little rap. It was cool. do you have a favorite American Music Award performance?
Probably wasn't that the one. Wasn't it the American Music Awards where Michael Jackson did his moonwalk?
Was that one?
Oh, no.
Or was it Motown 25?
It was Motown 25, but he did it. Didn't he do?
Yeah, I think he did.
Well, and you know what? Anytime that Michael Jackson was going to be on any award show was, you know.
Well, one that sticks out for me for Michael Jackson is the 95 MTV Video Music Awards, because he came out and did like a 10-minute performance.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember that one?
Yeah,
he went through
yeah.
like every single song going, and everyone lost their mind. Like that was absolutely amazing, that performance. And I guess, for me, American Music Awards, it would be my Janet Jackson performance in 90, because that's where I fell in love with her. And I thought she was great. And she came out, and I think that was a defining moment for some younger groups who hadn't even started yet, in the fact that they referenced Janet and stuff further on down the line, where, you know, seeing her come out dance and sing with a big bunch of dancers and you know, sort of knocking it out of the ballpark. It was an interesting performance.
No, what was the song?
Escapade.
Of course it was.
Of course it was Escapade. And I think that was actually the year as well that Paula Abdul came out and did hers as well. So there was a bit of a female battle going on with Paula and Janet.
Janet wins it.
Janet wins it every
Point
time.
Jackson.
Very nice. So, and then my final question to you with regards to music award shows, there's so many of them that are out there. Do you find there is an overabundance of them, or is it just enough because they spread them out? And which one is your favorite?
I think that there's certainly an overabundance of them, but there's an audience for each one of them, no question. So when you think of the purpose of the shows, it's usually to, you know, sell advertising and package artists and remind you that they have a new album. Oh, they have a new album coming out. Or this is the one that they're doing so well with. So it's less about, it's more about commerce, less about the art.
Right.
But they're fun to watch. As a viewer, I'll watch all of them.
Okay.
Because you know that it's going to be good. You know the ones that don't have a great reputation, and, you know, maybe you won't watch those, but I think I'm going to pick, like, MTV Awards, like we said before, whether it's the Video Music Awards or the Movie Awards.
Right.
Everybody shows up.
Yeah.
The categories are cool. They're current. It's fun. It's, you know, they win surfboards or popcorn, yeah, you know, golden popcorn, Spaceman, whatever. It's cool.
Yeah.
Teen Choice is a surfboard.
Yes. Right. Yeah, like those two.
And they're kind of cool too. Because everybody's screaming.
Constantly.
I will watch American Music Awards. I will watch the Grammys. I have a preference for the Grammys over the American Music Awards. Okay. But I like that. I like that people are into it. I like that people are thankful. Mm-hmm. I like seeing what people are going to say. You know, Justin Bieber's going to say something like, you know, back when he was poor in Stratford. I'm like, okay. Really? Poor? Right.
And I know I said I had a last question, but this is my last one. If you were an artist right now that was going to be performing on the American Music Awards, do you find that knowing that you're going to be on, you know, doing your thing, and there's going to be other artists there, whether they're in the crowd or also doing their own performance, do you want to extra bring it because you're performing in front of your, you know, colleagues, if you will, in the music industry? Like, if I was an artist, I'd be like, I want to kill that performance. Not that I wouldn't want to kill it every night for my fans on tour, but I don't know. There's something about, I think, the level of knowing, like, you know, if I was to perform there and Janet was in the audience or Madonna, like, I would be like, I want to kill it more.
Yeah, certainly. I guess that's the healthy level of competition.
Right.
Right? So that's the sport of singing or performing. I think that what you don't want to do is lose sight of the fact that, you know, you're supposed to be performing and that's what you want to focus on. Mm-hmm. You don't want to say, I need more fire. I need more, you know, meat dresses or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If, be true
within
to
yourself,
and then you're going to shine. You'll pop, Kel. You'll pop in the pop category.
Fantastic. That is our music editor, Sharon Hyland. She will be back next week with her music capsule. I don't want to put you on the spot, but is there anything we're looking forward to?
Everything.
Fantastic. You can follow her on Twitter at the Sharon Hyland, and as well, obviously, on our website, KellyAlexanderShow.com.
I would like to say that we should look forward to the Green Days, plural, because there's a date change for the third one, and the new Bruno Mars, because I'm in love with the first song.
There you have it, right out of our music editor's mouth, Sharon Hyland. Again, follow her on Twitter at the Sharon Hyland.
It's not. A few months ago, I had the pleasure of introducing you to my physiotherapist, Andrew Roberts from Kinetech Sport Physio in the West Island of Montreal. I asked Andrew to join us at the time so that we would all get a better understanding of just how helpful physiotherapy can be, whether you've been injured playing a sport or have suffered some type of injury at work or at home. Now, I've asked Andrew to join us again so that we can talk about specific parts of the body and how they can be helped with the use of physiotherapy and that you don't have to accept suffering and pain. Andrew, welcome back to the Kelly Alexander Show.
Thank you very much, Kelly.
Andrew, before we get into specific issues, I wanted to touch upon something that you brought up the last time you were on the show, and that is that new mothers who have just had their baby, can benefit greatly from physio. Can you explain what you meant by that?
Sure. There's definitely two things that come along with pregnancy and that can be helped with physical therapy. One of them is low back pain, and the other is some issues that can be encountered with regards to controlling your bowel and bladder function after pregnancy. If we talk about low back pain, when you're pregnant, while you're pregnant, your abdominal wall is stretching in the front, and so there's a lot of tension being put on your lower back. So physical therapy can help alleviate some of that tension. And if we're talking about control of your bowel and bladder function, there's a lot of connective tissue that can be stretched after pregnancy and during pregnancy, and as a result, we can have less control over if we have to go to the washroom, if we laugh or sneeze. We could even women can accidentally leak and have less control over their bladder function.
And Andrew, if women are suffering from this, and even actually, I guess my first question would be preventative. Should women be doing exercises prior to labor so that stuff like this doesn't happen?
Most definitely. Prior to labor, you can do exercises to work on getting these what we call pelvic floor muscles more elastic, stronger, because these muscles essentially are what support your organs. They're what allow you to have a normal functioning of bowel and bladder function as well. They also support all the internal organs that will allow you to function normally. So there are some exercises that can be done, Kegel exercises, so to speak, that can help before giving birth.
And when should they start that, Andrew? Should that be like 2 months before labor, or like, you know, pretty much when they get pregnant and find out?
I would say even a few months before labor, because for anyone, whether pregnant or not, it can definitely help. But in addition, for someone who is pregnant, it would definitely help a couple months to get those muscles going, because they're going to be very important afterwards as well.
And I think something that we need to sort of maybe bring up, Andrew, is with regards to these potential, plumbing issues, I guess a lot of women would be maybe shy or ashamed or, you know, thinking like, oh my God, this is embarrassing. And I guess they really need to realize that it's not embarrassing. It happens to many women that go through labor, and that if they are suffering from it, they shouldn't suffer from it. They should call someone like you.
Exactly. It's something that is a normal process, and it is something that many women will encounter after the pregnancy. For anyone who may be shy or may be a little bit reserved with regards to seeking out treatment, we also have a specialized physiotherapist who work specifically on recruiting these key muscles, and they'll work privately in a secluded office, and that way any insecurities or any worries about the treatment will be addressed in a private manner and in a private setting.
Excellent. And Andrew, something that you brought up actually just a few moments ago, and I hadn't really thought about it, even though everyone always hears about it when women are pregnant, the lower back pain. And again, is that something that they should be working on prior to labor? Because I'm assuming they actually are in quite the amount of pain probably by the 7th or 8th month when they start to get really big.
Most definitely. I would say that it is difficult in a sense to completely eliminate all the low back pain because you have that baby inside of you. However, I think that there are some exercises that can be done to make your joints more flexible, to decrease some of that tension on your lower back. And in that respect, physiotherapy can help with that.
And Andrew, is it important, while the woman is pregnant that they keep moving, keep being sort of active? Because I'm assuming, I've heard fathers before, fathers-to-be, they're all scared and they think basically that their wife should sit there and not do anything. I think that's the wrong approach. Am I correct?
I agree with you definitely, Kelly. I think that physical exercise is going to be something that can help a woman through her pregnancy. Again, you don't want to do anything that is higher impact, but like a lower grade physical exercise can be something beneficial to a woman during her pregnancy.
And would something like yoga be good, Andrew, like even right up to the end type thing before the baby's born?
I know that in terms of yoga classes, there are yoga classes for pregnant women. I don't believe that a yoga that would be applied to the whole population would be the best thing, considering that certain poses may require you to go on your stomach or in certain positions that will be uncomfortable. However, I think that the whole concept of applying yoga and the principles of it to help flexibility can really help a woman when she's pregnant.
And Andrew, after the baby is born, I mean, I know the mother is obviously trying to deal with all that, but I'm assuming that it's important that they keep up maybe some of these exercises to sort of help them through the recovery of having the baby. I don't even want to use that word because it's a beautiful thing to have a baby, but it is a trauma to your body, right? So
it is, because sometimes for more complicated pregnancies, you'll have to even cut through some of the connective tissue around those muscle groups. There can be a trauma. So depending on the pregnancy, sometimes there will have to be a period of rest. However, in the long run, it's definitely important to continue with exercise and the exercises that were started before the pregnancy.
Joining us on the show this week is Andrew Roberts, a physiotherapist at Kinetech Sport Physio, my physiotherapist, and he's awesome. And Andrew, I'm sure that one of the most common places of pain and injury that you see with people coming in probably have to do with neck problems, neck issues. Can you explain what are some of the most common neck issues that you see?
Sure. One very, very common thing that I find is people coming in with neck pain, and these are just individuals who spend 8 to 10 hours every day sitting in front of the computer, and as a result of maybe not the perfectly aligned desk and the keyboard, we're just developing neck pain, sometimes headaches and migraines as well. That's one very common thing that we encounter.
And how do you treat that, Andrew?
First thing, what we're trying to do is we're trying to find what the cause is for it. And so we'll start just by just getting a better idea of their workplace setup, and then assess and evaluate to see if the different segments of their neck are moving, and determine if there's a need for stretching, strengthening exercises to be done.
And Andrew, actually, just because you mentioned the whole workplace environment with regards to the keyboard and the screen and all that sort of stuff, what about the mouse? I feel like that could be a big problem.
Most definitely, particularly if you're looking at your keyboard set up in front of you and the mouse, you have to kind of turn around, turn to the side and reach for it. It's not quite the ideal situation because you're going to have to turn your whole body. Could just be putting a whole lot of tension on your whole arm and neck area.
So people really need to be focused on how their workplace is set up so that they don't have these issues in the long run.
They do, because it's essentially where they're spending a large proportion of their day every day. So it's something very basic that can be adjusted initially and right away.
Andrew, I think that, you know, a lot of people might think I'm silly for bringing this up, but I don't care, because I think, as you mentioned, there's a lot of, you know, people that are stuck in front of their computers day in and day out. And so I guess my comment/question would be, should people sort of warm up, quote unquote, before they sit down in front of the computer, like do some neck rotations and maybe even some arm stuff, and then maybe repeat that type of process, you know, every hour or so, or move about a little bit so that they're not in that static position for, you know, 8 hours straight?
I definitely think that would be something beneficial, because essentially, if you're just sitting there and not moving, there's not a whole lot of blood flow going to your muscles in the different area of your body. Whereas if you do as what you suggested, get up, stretch, do some exercises, you're going to get the blood flowing to those areas that need it. And you're also going to help yourself by just by moving and by getting that blood flowing. I definitely agree with you, Kelly.
And Andrew, you know, again, so many of us are stuck in front of computers day in and day out. How important is it for people to actually get out there and exercise. Because again, you actually brought something to my attention. I didn't even sort of think about it, but the fact that you do sit there and there's not a lot of blood flow, I think it's necessary that people get out there, even if they just take half hour out of their day. And I know we're all busy, but people should be bouncing around, because I read a study recently that said that people that are in front of their desks day in and day out, have, I guess a higher chance of picking up, health problems in the long run.
I definitely think that a 30 minute period of exercise can help make a huge difference in your everyday life. I mean, just that time, taking that time to have a little bit of release as well. If you're running, you can have some chemicals released in your brain that'll even help with your pain. And that in itself can be better than any particular exercise or any particular medication for pain. Just that release, that runner's high that we talk about, or that exercise high, that can kind of make you forget a little bit about the pains you're getting when you're sitting in the same spot.
And Andrew, back to the whole sort of neck situation, what other types of neck injury do you see? Do you see a lot of sport injury going towards the neck? Like, is that something you see fairly often?
I would say for the neck, we'll often see whiplash injuries after people have car accidents. In terms of sporting injuries, I wouldn't say as much. Me personally, I haven't seen a lot of traumas to the neck area. However, I've seen like a lot of people with shoulder injuries who also have neck pain that accompanies it.
Is that neck sort of area, Andrew, someplace that people often forget? Because when you're about to do a sport activity, you warm up everything else, and I think the neck gets forgotten a lot. But it is important, I guess, like you just said, in conjunction with warming up your shoulders and your back, right?
Most definitely, because all the nerve roots and all the important fibers that will help your arms and your hands move and operate normally, they start in the neck area. And so if that area isn't moving as well, basically anyone who has to repeatedly use their arms may have difficulty just because that neck is not moving well or as well as it could.
And what type of warm-up exercises should you do for your neck, Andrew? Just rotations, or how does that work?
I think the ideal thing would be I would do more of like an active dynamic stretch. So example, I would like kind of bend my neck forward a little bit and then put my hand behind my head and add a little stretch and do that in all the directions, bending your head to the side and then stretching it a little bit more dynamically for a couple seconds. And I think that could help make your tissues more elastic and get the blood flowing a little more.
Hanging out with us on the show this week is Andrew Roberts, a physiotherapist at Kinetech Sport Physio. Andrew, my next question has to do with the back, because that's another place I think where a lot of people end up hurting themselves. So what are the most common injuries that you see with regards to back?
For the back, one very common injury that people will get is the classic, reaching down to pick up something and kind of twisting. And then as a result, you get up, you feel your back is seizing, and you get stuck in that position. What we have in between each level of our back are discs. And when we often bend and twist to pick something up, those discs can become irritated and cause some more serious issues. I would say that's probably one of the most common things.
And so to help alleviate stuff like that, you should be doing, I guess, a lot of stretching throughout the week on your back.
Most definitely. Stretching will help make everything more elastic, will help decrease the tension on your lower back. And it would make a big difference if you're moving around and you're more elastic than if you're pretty much like super tight, super tense, and trying to go about lifting and turning.
Andrew, and can you explain, I guess, a little bit more too about how the back plays such an integral part, even with regards to your legs? Because as you know, with the injuries that I've had, I don't think I realized up until like 2 years ago that an injury that I thought was my knee was actually stemming from my back. And so I think people need to realize that, you really need to have that back in good shape in order for your other sort of body parts to function well.
Most definitely. Similar to before, when we were saying the neck will allow your upper body and your arms to work properly, your back, all the nerves from your back will go down to your leg and allow your legs to operate properly. And so if there's an example in your lower segment of your lower back, if that area isn't working so well, sometimes you can even develop foot and ankle pain that would seem like it's completely unrelated, but it can be coming from your back. And so it's really important to make sure that is operating normally.
And Andrew, I guess in the grand scheme of things as well, because I know with regards to my specific case, you've prescribed to me, you know, various exercises that I'm supposed to do during the week when I'm not with you to help me get better. Can you sort of reiterate, I guess, how important it is? Because for, you know, I do them when I'm not with you because I feel like if you're telling me to do them, that's for a reason. People need to be listening to what their physiotherapist is saying and not just like, oh, I'll do it once a week.
Most definitely, because in the long run, these exercises are really what's going to help you maintain the effects of your physical therapy. And it's also something that's going to help benefit you and help you be more active and do the sports that you like to do.
And Andrew, I guess back to just the whole idea of warming up, because I'm sure that you as a physiotherapist, you know, have a lot of people come in with injuries that probably could have been avoided had someone warmed up properly. How important, Andrew, is it for someone to take that extra 5-10 minutes to prep themselves before like physical activity?
It's very, very, very important, because what you want to do is really to get the blood flowing to your muscles. You want to get a sweat on. You want to get your heart rate going to a level that's going to prepare your body for the effort. Example, playing soccer, shooting some basketball. And if you skip that part, you're essentially demanding a huge effort from your body, and your body may not be ready for that effort. And that's when you get pulls and strains and injuries that can last for months.
Andrew, thank you so much for spending time with us today. I really appreciate it.
It was my pleasure, Kelly.
That's physiotherapist Andrew Roberts from Kinetec Sport Physio in the West Island of Montreal.
Bring on the remix.
Shine bright like a diamond. Shine bright like a diamond. Fine light in the beautiful sea. I chose to be happy. You and I, you and I. We're like diamonds in the sky. You're a shooting star, I see. A vision of ecstasy. When you hold me, I'm alive. We're like diamonds in the sky. I knew that we'd become one right away. Oh, right away. At first sight, I felt the energy of surrender.
That's Rihanna with Diamonds, the Dave O'Day 100 radio edit on The Kelly Alexander Show. A big thank you going out to my guests this week, Sharon Hyland and Andrew Roberts. And here is your thought-provoking quote of the week from Robert Hand. The better you feel about yourself, the less you feel the need to show off. Now make sure to join us on our show next week as we chat with our smart shopper, Solmaz McDaddy, about holiday shopping. She has some awesome tips about how to be creative without breaking the bank and blowing your budget to bits. Please don't forget to check us out on our website, kellyalexandershow.com, for lots of blogs and all that sort of good stuff, as well as on Twitter, at @KAlexandershow, and our Facebook page, Kelly Alexander Show. And a big shout out to you for supporting us on our YouTube channel. We've now passed over 10,000 YouTube hits. Thank you so, so much. And don't you worry, we'll keep the content coming. Have a great week. You and I will chat soon.